Okay, well, tonight is Thursday, April 9th, 2020, which is also the 15th of the first month of Nisan, year 5780, the Jewish calendar. And let's see, that is yesterday was this, you know what, I'm going to put it on the board, which I can do now since I can walk. I like timelines. So I'm going to talk about Passover tonight.
Yay.
Yay, I know you talked about it some.
No, not really.
Well, you touched on it.
Yeah, it's still Passover until
sundown.
It gets dark.
Sundown.
Okay.
Okay, so with Passover, there's Passover, and then the multiple holidays have kind of been smushed together under Passover. So we're going to talk about, let's see, yesterday at sundown was the 14th of Nisan, which is the first month of the year, and that is Passover. Then today is the 15th, and that is the start of the 7 days of the unleavened bread. So we'll just say bread. And tomorrow is the 16th, and that is the first of the first fruits, barley. But
she's the first fruits.
Yes. So, but then, like I said, the unleavened bread goes through to the 21st.
Okay,
and so then all of this together is Passover. Okay, so let's go to Exodus. You can just go to 12, but I'm going to back up a little bit while you're flipping over to 12. So Exodus 23 through 25, Exodus 2, verses 23 through 25 says, "And it came to pass in process of time that the king of Egypt died, and the children of Israel sighed by reason of the bondage. And they cried, and their cry came up unto God by reason of the bondage. And God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. And God looked up on the children of Israel, and God had respect unto them." So we know back from chapter 1 that Pharaoh had tasked the Israelites with hard labor, and then he went beyond that and had commanded that all the male children be put to death. Yet in verse 12 in chapter 1, it says, "But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew. And they," meaning the Egyptians, "were grieved because of the children of Israel." So Christians today, we know, have bondages about a lot of different things, and we've talked about that before in previous teachings. And you know, one specific thing that I've prayed for, that I've been praying for, is that for God to bring me and His people out of the Egypt of debt. And, you know, when we have Egypts, they hinder us from fully entering into the callings that God has for us to walk in. But affliction does cause growth, so that's good. So this year, I'm very excited about Passover and what it means for God's people, because His people have been crying out, and He is hearing us. Mm-hmm. And that's really exciting.
Amen.
But you know, after the children of Israel cried out, they were delivered, and they were mightily delivered, but not in a way that they could have ever contemplated, right? So here they are in chapter 12, 9 miraculous plagues later. You know, Pharaoh's obviously not pleased, and they are now under even worse affliction and bondage than before. Anyone feel like that's where they are?
We can all relate to that.
So Exodus 12, starting in verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. So here is the creation of the Jewish calendar. And it represents the new beginning and being brought out of slavery and bondage and coming into God's promises. Going on to verse 3. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, In the 10th day of this month they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it out from the sheep and from the goats, and ye shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. So, 4 days. Now, I don't know if y'all have seen lambs, but I know maybe some of you have gone to farms nearby or whatever. Redemptive Love Farms, I follow them on Facebook. They're a Christian farm, and they have lambs right now, and they are absolutely adorable, and they look like they're smiling all the time. So I just, you know, I can't imagine having, you know, like a baby, I mean up to a year old, you know, lamb smiling at you all the time for four days. But anyway, and going on, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening, and they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door posts of the houses wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. So the bitter herbs, you know, represent the bitterness of what they went through under bondage. And, you know, I'll go on. Verse 9, eat not of it raw nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire, his head with his legs and with the pertinence of thereof. So pertinence means the organs. So they were not to gut the lamb. They were just to roast the whole lamb, which means that after they had it in their house for 4 days and, oh, it was so cute, then they're actually, you know, it was still whole, roasted, and then they ate it. Verse 10, and ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning, and that which remaineth of it until the morning ye shall burn with fire. And thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And that's what's happening right now, isn't it? Mm-hmm. God is judging the world's fake gods, and he's also bringing down our idols. You know, this is a time that he has given us, or it should be, of reflection and repentance, remembering the lamb that was slain, Jesus, in our place due to our sin and for our redemption. Going on to verse 13. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you, when I smite the land of Egypt. And this day shall be unto you for a memorial, and ye shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. Ye shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. 7 days shall ye eat unleavened bread. Even the first day ye shall put away leaven out of your houses, for whosoever eateth leavened bread from the first day until the seventh day, that soul shall be cut off from Israel. So here we're talking about the 15th through the 21st. And in the first day there shall be an holy convocation, and in the seventh day, which that seventh, I'm going to keep going. The seventh day there should be an holy convocation to you. No manner of work shall be done in them, save that which every man must eat, that only may be done of you. And ye shall observe the feast of unleavened bread, for in this selfsame day I have brought your armies out of the land of Egypt. Therefore shall ye observe this day in your generations by an ordinance forever. In the first month, on the 14th day of the month at even, ye shall eat unleavened bread until the 21st day of the month at even. 7 days shall there be no leaven found in your houses, for whosoever eateth that which is leavened, even that soul shall be cut off from the congregation of Israel, whether he be stranger or born in the land. Ye shall eat nothing leavened. In all your habitations shall ye eat unleavened bread. So then Moses called the elders and told them what to do, and they did it. Down to verse 23. For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians, and when he seeth the blood upon the lintel and on the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come in unto your houses to smite you. Going down to 29. And it came to pass that at midnight the Lord smote all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sat on his throne unto the firstborn of the captive that was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of the cattle. And Pharaoh rose up in the night, he and all his servants and all the Egyptians, and there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where there was not one dead. And he called for Moses and Aaron by night and said, Rise up and get you forth from among my people, both ye and the children of Israel, and go serve the Lord as ye have said. And take your flocks and your herds as ye have said, and be gone, and bless me also. And the Egyptians were urgent upon the people that they might send them out of the land in haste, for they said, We be all dead men. And the people took their dough before it was leavened, their kneading troughs being bound up in their clothes upon their shoulders. And the children of Israel did according to the word of Moses, and they borrowed of the Egyptians jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment. And the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, so that they lent unto them such things as they required, and they spoiled the Egyptians. So let's think about that. Any debts the children of Israel had to the Egyptians were canceled. They had to leave. They had to leave so quickly that I would imagine a lot was left behind, because only the necessities were taken. I mean, you know, you think about maybe a flood coming or something. We have more time to think about evacuating for a hurricane for the most part. But you know, if you were told that a fire or a flood were coming and you had to immediately get out of your house, what are you going to grab? Then, you know, the necessities, hopefully. And even things that they took that weren't ultimately found to be necessities were probably later dumped along the way. You know, when they finally came to the point where their wanting to hold on to it wasn't worth carrying it.
Right.
And you know, that's kind of where we are now too, because, you know, things that were important to us, that were taking up precious time and resources, they've been brought down. And if we allow it, you know, God will continue to remove anything remaining. And we've heard reset and refocus multiple times recently, and that is, you know, what God is doing. He is bringing a renewed focus onto what's really important, onto, you know, there's been a shift of all of this other junk and activities and everything else to your immediate family, not even your extended family, but your household, your immediate family. And the responsibilities there that have been dropped or relinquished, and then obviously onto him. And I know, you know, there are things that I like to do that I enjoy doing, hobbies or whatever, that I've let go, that I've been able to pick up again a little bit. You know, I planted a few tomato plants, and I've been watching them grow every day, and out my window. It's been so nice to have a window instead of, you know, my office wall. And I found out that my backyard must be a thoroughfare for snakes, because I've watched a couple slither on by out my window. Going on in verse 40. Now the sojourning of the children of Israel who dwelt in Egypt was 430 years. And it came to pass at the end of the 430 years, even the selfsame day it came to pass, that all the hosts of the Lord went out from the land of Egypt. It is a night to be much observed unto the Lord for bringing them out from the land of Egypt. This is that night of the Lord to be observed of all the children of Israel and their generations. So, you know, the children of Israel were called to be in Egypt for a time. And they were there for 430 years. And because that's where God called them to be, God prospered them, even through the affliction. And, which is another reason why they had to be expelled, actually, because they had gotten comfortable. But in that affliction, you know, he used that to cause them to grow and to mature and to prepare them for that next season. So, you know, when they cried out to God because of the affliction, you know, they were probably thinking, God, fix this situation. You know, lighten our load. You know, change the way that they look at us or are standing with them or something. I mean, because that's where they were. That's all they had known. And, you know, I'm sure that they had just no idea that deliverance would be expelling them from Egypt and everything that they knew. But again, you know, this is where we are. We are at the start of a new year. A Jewish year, and a new season. God is using the enemy, you know, what the enemy meant for evil through this coronavirus, for our good and his glory. And, you know, we didn't expect to be delivered from things we, you know, sometimes, some of which didn't even know about, but we've learned and are still learning. We didn't expect to be delivered from things through this, you know, a novel virus and a worldwide pandemic. Just as the Israelites didn't expect to be delivered through 10 plagues and being expelled from Egypt. But that's what God's using. So he can do that because he's God. And I want to talk about unforgiveness for just a minute. Because that is one of the things that God wants to deliver us from. Both towards people or ourselves and towards him, for things like, you know, where we feel like he hasn't met our expectations, or where he hasn't, you know, come through for us like we thought he should in our way, in our thinking, like the Egyptians. There is an organization, now y'all know that I'm interested in emergency response and emergency management. And I've been looking for an organization that better fit with our doctrine. And I just, nothing felt right. Even the ones that kind of lined up, it just didn't feel like they were the right thing. So, but I was talking to somebody and they told me about an organization called CRI, and it's called Crisis Response International. And they have currently a course that is a 10-hour long course, and it's just a very basic, it's online, yay, and it's free until the 15th of the month. But anyway, it's just a very basic course that everybody has to go through to make sure that you're on the same page and that you have a basic understanding of everything before you deploy with them. And they're very, focused on, responding to people, being the hands and feet of God, and responding to them, as chaplains, but also, feeding them and giving them things that they need and so on. And they are very selective to hear from God before they respond to things. Anyway, I went through the whole 10-hour course, which I thought was good. But there was an example of something that I hadn't thought of before, and so I just want to share it with you. There was a woman that her idea was that in the Bible, God exchanges things. And like bad things for good things. And so what she said as an example for people, like when she was praying with people who had an issue, like specifically with unforgiveness, and how, when you come to that point when you can't forgive somebody for something, or you don't want to forgive God for allowing something terrible to happen to you. And she talked about, one, not asking God why, but asking him where he was in the situation and allowing him to show you even, where he was in that room or just in the scenario. But then, two, with the exchange idea, it's, in prayer, when you're really seeking God, and you're hurt and broken, you say, God, I'm going to give you this thing. Whatever it is, I'm going to give you this thing. What do you want to give to me? And I did that with something, and surprisingly, and they kind of said that this is, part of what you would receive, but the first thing I heard was peace.
Yes.
And, but then what she was saying was that you don't just stop there, and you say, and what else? And you keep going until God has given you everything or told you what he wants to give you and exchange with you for that thing. Maybe it's, worrying about something, or, thinking about the debt that I have, or worrying about, a loved one who is a prodigal, or, whatever the situation may be. And it's not a, what are you going to give me, God? It's a, God, you're good, you're my, my Father, and you have good things for me, and, it's a, help me work through this thing, not a, God, give, what are you going to give me thing, if that makes sense. So, we don't want to let forgiveness to keep us bound. Which is really sad. One of the things they said too was that is a big hindrance to receive healing. But we want to receive the freedom that God is giving us through his suffering and death. You can go to Luke 22.
Luke
22. Starting in verse 14. And when the hour was come, he sat down, and the 12 disciples with him, apostles with him. So this was in the upper room when Jesus, where they had their Passover, that last Passover. And 15, he said unto them, with desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. Now, the New King James says, with a fervent desire, I have desired to eat this. I know another one says, eagerly desire. So Jesus was longing to have that time with them, just as he longs to have time with us. Verse 16, for I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took the cup and gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. And he took bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave unto them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this do in remembrance of me. Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. So I know Pastor saw that communion. She joined in the communion. And there have been, this is just an interesting year and time, because I mean, this whole coronavirus thing, I mean, there are bad parts to it, and people are sick and people have died, but there are really good things to it too. You know, I mean, all the churches have gone online, and you know, I mean, and they're going all over the world, these services, they're being broadcast all over the world, and with these there are several different pastors and groups that are doing online worldwide communion services that you know, they've happened today and yesterday. I think there's another one tomorrow. And so I joined the one yesterday, and it went for almost 4 hours. And, you know, I think at one point there were over 8,000 people in attendance through just the feed that I was watching. You know, they usually do it on multiple things like YouTube and Facebook and whatever. The prophets from all over the world gave the word of the Lord, you know, from U.S., Canada, Brazil, Australia, different parts of Africa, Europe. Even though it was the middle of the night or the early morning, you know, and it was like they just came up one after another, and then maybe about halfway through, they actually did the communion, and then they continued with more prophets. And I mean, it was like, you know, when the word of the Lord comes here, and one person will have a word, and another person will have a word, and another person will have a word, and it just fits. And it was really awesome to see that with people all over the world.
Yes.
At the same time. And anyway, it was just neat. One of them had to hurry up and give his word because he was about to walk into a meeting with the president, but he had to get tested for the coronavirus first before he could enter that meeting, so he had to go. But, you know, we are just so blessed. This country is just so blessed. I mean, our president is surrounding himself with prophets, with intercessors, and with worship leaders. And, you know, so is the vice president. And, you know, like, I know Senator Rick Scott has called a couple of times now, and there's another one coming up, I think, tomorrow. for intercessory prayer online. And anyway, you know, that's who God has given us as leaders. You know, our governor is a Christian, and most of his team. And so, anyway, in this online communion service, you know, during the service, we all took communion together in unity as the body of Christ. And, you know, God is calling his people into communion with each other inside and outside of our local church and in communion with him. And he's not getting on our page, okay? He's calling us to get on his page.
Yes.
And where he is. Mm-hmm. And, you know, some of the things that were prophesied that'll sound familiar is, you know, a turning of the tide, a reset, a shift, realignment, holy alignment, awakening and outpouring, revival and harvest, double portions, double anointing. You know, a new level of God that we're about, you know, we're coming into a new level, and that in agreement with 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. And I mean, that's God's heart.
Yes.
Did you, was there anything else that?
Well, one of the emphases, of course, was repentance.
Repentance.
And they went through a lot of repentance.
It did.
And truly weeping and sorrowful, and went through a lot of areas that we need as a church people to repent for our nation, to repent. And I don't even know how long it was, because I was weeping for a while, but it was there was a lot of repentance, and God is calling the church to repentance. He's calling us to repent for our country. He's calling it and to have a repentant attitude, even in standing in the gap in the areas where, for abortion, maybe we haven't done that, but to stand in the gap and repenting for what's been done. And that was a big part of, you know, humbling yourself before the Lord, is to repent and to allow God to examine you. And that was a big part, I thought, for me. It was when you have people all over the world in repentance to the Lord was what, I thought it really was a big deal. And to be united with Christians around the world was a big deal for me, and personally, and I know for a lot of people.
I mean, there were thousands of people on that call. I mean, thousands of connections.
Yeah.
Who knows how many people were there in each connection, too. Well, today was the end of Lou Engle's 40-day Jesus fast. And he had also a communion service with thousands of people from all over the world. And, you know, We are just in different times where people from various church bodies from all over the world can come together in unity and communion. I mean, wow, who would have thought that, you know, the coronavirus, a coronavirus could get this thing, you know, shot off like this. But anyway, the world will never be the same as it was before this virus. It can't. And we can't. We can't be the same. You know, you know, one thing I'm asking myself, too, is when we're on the other side of this, how easy is it going to be to, you know, fall back into the patterns that we were in before? And, you know, we just have to choose to not do that. But, you know, another question, you know, is it okay if God works in our lives and in our families and our ministries and our church in different ways than we had planned? The Israelites didn't plan to get delivered through plagues. You know, Jesus' disciples did not plan for, you know, Jesus to die on a cross the way, I mean, that wasn't the expectation. So I think, you know, we really have to, you know, we didn't expect for the coronavirus to come like it did and basically, you know, mostly shut down our country and the world. who would have thought that in this day and age could actually happen? But we, you know, Jesus is risen, and he gives us hope for our future. So, you know, this message is intended to be a message of encouragement, and God is doing, you know, really awesome things in the earth in this season. And I would just, you know, instead of looking at the news and the terrible stuff about the rising coronavirus counts and all of that, you know, I encourage you to look at, you know, what God is doing across the globe.
Yeah.
And, I mean, who would have ever thought that, you know, we would have a president that would have, you know, prophets come in like they are doing in this time. And, you know, just, I'm just in awe. So this Passover, you know, today, the 15th, of Nisan is the day when Jesus was crucified. So, but we're looking forward to Sunday morning in remembrance of him rising up. So, we're being passed over. Jesus, we are, the blood is on the doorposts, and we are being passed over, and you know, that I don't think that means that all Christians aren't going to get the coronavirus or haven't gotten the coronavirus. There are some pretty, you know, big ones that have gotten the coronavirus, but God has also brought them through. And there are some pretty awesome testimonies, too, of God breathing into people life and healing them. So God is in this. And I'm excited to see what happens for the rest of the quarantine, and also, you know, get lots of stuff done, and also remember God and refocus back on him.
Amen.
I want to add something to what you were saying. I was hearing some numbers, and I forget all the details, but everything astrologically, moon-wise, time-wise, date-wise, and everything is lining up with when Jesus died. I don't know. There's a lot going on there. That's another teaching, but I've heard it laid out, and I'm going to bring that forward to you.
I thought it was interesting that it is actually Wednesday, Thursday, Friday.
Very good point.
A lot that has lined up. A whole lot that's lined up.
There's a supermoon, too.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Did everybody see how the pink the moon was?
Yes.
It was gorgeous. Wow. Praise God.
Let's come back for prayer.
Thank you, Michelle.
It's huge.
I personally believe Jesus did die on Thursday night. Was crucified on Thursday. That's just my personal opinion of studying the alignments. Because he said he was going to be in the earth 3 days and three nights. If he was Friday, he would be there 3 days and three nights.
Double Sabbath.
Right. That's right. Well, praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Does anybody have anything they want to share?